So why is it important to pay attention to the state of New Hampshire's birds?
You know, there's a couple of reasons. And, you know, the ones we usually give are A, birds are often really good environmental indicators. You know, there's the overused canary in a coal mine thing. We think people still, you know, understand Silent Spring, you know, the book that launched the DDT ban eventually. So, you know, things that happen in the environment, birds are often things we can easily see respond. People notice them respond because they're, you know, common and visible and things like that. So, you know, as good environmental indicators, you know, birds are up there. The other reason we should care is because why not? That's the, you know, line I often give, that, you know, they're just part of what we got here and they're part of our natural ecosystems, and we should just appreciate them and recognize their right to be here along with us. And thirdly is the fact that people just like birds. You know, birds are, we relate to them, we watch them, we spend millions of dollars every year looking for them, and they're an economic driver in that regard as well.
And what did this study attempt to measure about birds?
Yeah, so what the state of the birds is a compilation of population trend data for all the species that occur in New Hampshire with some regularity. You know, 290 species, 190 of those breed here. We've got usually some pretty good data on breeding bird population trends. We collected all the trends. Are they increasing, decreasing, by how much, that sort of thing. And then group those into categories, whether it's based on habitat, based on migration strategy, based on some sort of other grouping like birds of prey or waterfowl. And oftentimes, if you're looking at groups of birds like that, you'll see some groups are disproportionately more likely to be increasing or decreasing than other groups. And in those cases, that's when you might say, okay, if something's going on that's affecting this group of birds more than, you know, some other group, and that allows us to identify common threats, which then we can actually try to take action to maybe mitigate what's going on.
Year over year fluctuations in bird populations, birds like migratory birds, birds that live here year round, those are important to measure. But long-term trends, as you point out in this report, are really important. What kind of long-term trends did you find?
There's the good news theme is that species that we've actually invested conservation efforts into, things like birds of prey and waterfowl, have been increasing over the last 50 years or more. You know, we banned DDT, we've protected habitat, things like that. So things like eagles are now, you know, all over the place. You know, waterfowl are doing quite well. So if the message there is, if you put effort, conservation effort into something, it actually often has benefits. Another broad increasing trend are several sort of common species that are, you know, adapted to live near people, things like cardinals that we see at our feeders. A lot of these are southern species that are probably actually partially moving north because of, you know, things like climate change. So they're able to adapt to both a disturbed landscape, lots of houses, plus a warmer climate that makes it easier for them to survive.
And how much do environments in other parts of the world affect birds that migrate to and from New Hampshire?
Yes, that is the key question, and it's excellent that you asked it, because, you know, for most of our birds actually leave the state at some point in their lives. There's only, you know, 20, 30 or so species that don't migrate at all. And the farther away a bird migrates, the more likely it is to be declining. So that tells us that, you know, the stress of migration is important, and also anything that might affect them during migration or during the winter when they're in South America or Mexico or Cuba, wherever they go, are going to be big factors. And we do know that things that happen on the winter can affect a bird's not only survival there, but also can affect its chances of being successful migrating north again. If it doesn't get enough food or it's stressed somehow in the winter, it might not survive migration. It might get here late and therefore not be as likely to breed. And so there's this whole annual cycle of, you know, things that happen in one season affect the next season, and on and on and on and on. So it's really critical for most of our birds to think about what's happening south of the border, as it were, because it does affect what happens back here, you know, in the summer.
And which habitats are doing well in New Hampshire and which seem to be under the most threat?
The good news part is that birds that nest in our forests, you know, we're a largely forested state, those species tend to be increasing at least as much as decreasing. So there's is not this disproportionate declining number of species in our forested habitats. And that's partially because, you know, we've done a fairly good job of protecting a lot of our forests, White Mountain National Forest, lots of other chunks here and there. On the flip side, species that use early successional habitats, grasslands, shrubby habitats, pine barrens, tend to be declining disproportionately. And that's usually, again, because those habitats are ephemeral. If you don't manage them in some way, they will turn into forest.
You write here that there are some things ordinary people can do, ordinary people, not necessarily people who study birds, can do to help protect birds here in New Hampshire. What would you recommend for ordinary people if they want to preserve the birds that are here and the birds that come and go?
Cats kill billions of birds a year in North America. So that's a really big take-home message. And, you know, you can't really keep them from killing things except by keeping them inside. So that's number one. Number two is to minimize bird window strikes. You know, 500 million birds or more get killed by running into buildings during the year because they don't see glass like we do. They just see reflections in it and try to fly into the next piece of woods that they see there. And there's all sorts of things you can do, you know, expensive and inexpensive to minimize that. If you've got windows that are likely to be a big problem, basically you just need to have something on the outside of the window at a regular intervals, like 4 inches apart, vertical strips is what they usually do to break up that reflection. And you can still see out the window. It looks a little funny right away, but the birds will see it and not fly into the window. Or screens are the best answer, actually. If you've got screens, leave them up. Another good one is just sort of what kind of habitat you've got in your yard, in your neighborhood. You know, minimize pesticide use, minimize it, you know, non-native plants, actually eliminate non-native plants, which often are less suitable for food. Birds don't like the berries as much in many cases, but more importantly, non-native plants tend to support fewer insects, and the birds that eat insects won't be foraging on them as often. You know, let your lawn grow into a weedy field and sparrows will love it. Your neighbors might not, but...
Pamela Hunt is the author of the new study, The State of New Hampshire's Birds, A Conservation Guide, which will be published next week. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
You're very welcome.